Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls from Independence Baptist Church, and we are glad you could join us again this morning. Now, this month, we've been talking about praying for the promises that God has given in the Scriptures. Now, Pastor Reynolds has pointed out, using Daniel as an example, that we should pray for those things that God has said will happen. Now, Pastor Reynolds also pointed out that we need to pray that the Lord will give us those day-to-day necessities, and that God has made many promises in His Word, and some of those may not necessarily be given to each individual person if they don't pray specifically and ask for them. And another main point has been that part of this whole process of praying for promises and receiving promises is to seek the Lord and to turn our faces toward Him. Let's join Pastor Reynolds now as he finishes up on this message of praying for the promises.
We ought to pray for the restoration of Israel. Wow. You know what? God's going to restore that nation. Look in the book of Jeremiah, if you would, chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. God has His hand upon that people. And I'll guarantee you they're coming back. They got no place to go. Right, Brother Brian, they got no place to go. He heard that in an interview because they said, the guy said, we got no place to go. We've been all over this world. We've been in captivity. Nobody likes us. We're here. Boy, God put them there. God's going to bring them back. Jeremiah chapter 33. In verse 7, here's what he said. And I won't, there are several points, several scriptures here, and I don't know where my time is, but I want to get some of this. And I will cause the captivity of Judah. It's what God said. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth. Well, that's going to be different. You know, the Bible states that every nation is going to go against Israel. But that's going to turn around. That's going to turn around. You think we ought to pray that that happened? I do. Man, I think we ought to pray that God will bless Israel and cause confusion to the enemies. I do. And I don't think it's wrong, even now, to pray that the plagues of Egypt come on those that are against Israel. I don't think that's wrong. Now, you may not want to go that far. But God's going to put them plagues on them one of these days, so let's just get it started. You know what I mean? We're ready for God to bless this nation of His and bring them back and put them where He wants them to be. So they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I shall procure unto it. God said, I'll do that. Look in the book of Amos, chapter 9. This is another great promise that God has given to this people. Amos chapter 9 and verse 14. Well, let's read. Let's read verse 13. Talking about this great time. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. There's going to be so much stuff they can't even hardly take care of the produce that comes off the field. It's going to be a good time. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They also may make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. They shall be no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. God's going to bring that thing around. And boy, it's going to be just like God said. Look in the book of Isaiah. There's many, many passages about this. And we ought to pray that God would return Israel to that land. And He's done that. We ought to pray that God will take away the reproach of Israel. That there no more be a byword among the nations of this world. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first. This is Isaiah 1, beginning in verse 26. And thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, Thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. That's what's going to happen. We ought to pray for that. Pray for the restoration of the nation of Israel. We ought to pray for that. We want to do all we can to bring it to pass. May God bless that holy people. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired. And ye shall be confounded for the gardens that they have chosen. So that's going to take place. We ought to pray for that. Pray for the restoration of Israel. I tell you something else we ought to pray for. And this is just another point. We ought to pray for the rapture. I believe we ought to pray for that. Be earnest and not be like so many that fail to pray for the Lord to come back. You know, really, it ought to be a part of every prayer that we pray. It really ought to be. And oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes I pray and never ask the Lord audibly, especially in the public service, that He ought to come back. I do sometimes, but I don't do that near often enough. So I'm failing in that. But that's what we ought to pray for. In the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, to verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We'll just tell this story because of our time here. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He told this parable about how that men ought to always pray and not to faint. He tells about this unjust judge and the widow. And the only reason that the judge gave her what she desired was because she continually came. Verse 6, the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" See, we ought to pray. Ought to continually pray. You say, "Well, the heavens are silent." Keep on praying. Keep on praying. God hears. God knows about those things. Continually pray. My, those of you that are parents that have had children saved, how many times did you pray for them? How many times have you been on your knees in prayer to the Lord? How many times with tears, with anguish in your soul, and your child came through, perhaps a grown child, with no thought, it seemed, at all? What do? Do you get discouraged? Well, maybe, but we should not. We should just keep on praying. We're people, aren't we? We should not be discouraged. We ought to just keep praying. Lord, save that child. Save this one. Lord, save this one. Lord, touch their heart. God, I pray that You'd burden them with their sin. Keep on praying about that. On and on about it. So He said, though He bear long with them, then in verse 8, He says, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. That's according to His timetable, not ours. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? That's the question. Should we pray for the rapture? Oh, yeah. When the Lord comes, will He find anybody praying? Will He find anybody believing? Many, many people I know have changed their position on the pre-trib rapture simply because they look around and they don't like the way things are going. I've had preachers say that. It looks to them like it's going to be a post-trib thing, so they change. You know what? I don't know what's going. I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, but I still believe pre-trib. I mean, we're not appointed to wrath. I don't know what else to do about it. I don't know how close we're going to get. Let me read you this. John chapter 17. Look here what it said. John chapter 17. Here's one of the prayers that Jesus prayed. And I think, Walter, I think it's good Jesus prayed this. It's good for us to pray it. For this promise, God, keep us safe. We got our families. We got our children. Lord, we're in Your hand. Keep us safe. John 17, verse 15. He said, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world. And He's not against the rapture here. That's not what that's about. But that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Lord, keep us from evil. Keep us from your wrath. Has indications in that way. So we pray that. Lord bless us in that thing. Well, I'm going to have to quit. I'll give you a couple things here. were to pray for the blessings during the millennial. I read there in the book of Isaiah about the millennial reign and how that's going to be. Boy, and a child is going to play with a snake. It scared me to death. I don't like the snakes that's around here. I talked to Josh this morning about that unwelcome visitor. He said, it startled me just a little. He said, it's running right up against the door. You know, last Sunday he found that snake out right out there. And he said, it was rather startling. That's the way he put it. I said, it scared me silly. And he just laughed. He said, yeah. But you know, in that day, a child will play with the most venomous snake there is. And mom and dad may not even be concerned. Because the snake ain't going to bother them. And the lamb will lay down with a leopard. Should we pray for that? Amen. Lord, bring it on. Lord, bring it on. We ought to pray for the promises of God. We ought to pray for that. Set our face toward the Lord and pray with supplications and fastings and dust and ashes. Lord, bring it on. Lord, we need you. Desperation, you're our only hope. Lord, I pray that you bring it on. I think we ought to pray for the promises. If you're here tonight and you're lost, the promise that God gives to you is that He'll save your soul. Listen, you need to pray that God will save you. You that are lost need to pray that God will save your soul. Your prayer is not going to save you, but Jesus does that. You just trust the Lord. You come to Him as a sinner. You repent that you're a sinner. Have another mind toward yourself. Realize that before God, you have nothing at all. And you trust the Lord Jesus Christ completely and wholly. Let Him save your soul. You might have heard that message. You might have heard that statement many, many, many times. Let me tell you, you need to do. Repent, believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him that you can be saved. It's our prayer for you.
Well, that's going to have to conclude the message on praying for promises, and we do pray that it has been a blessing to you. Now, we encourage you to read through the Scriptures and seek out those verses that contain promises that He has given. Now, over the last few weeks, I have mentioned a book that Independence Baptist Church has put together called The Promises of God, as Seen Through the Eyes of Some of the Members of Independence Baptist Church. I want to take a minute to read of just a few of these verses that are in this book to you. We're going to start with one that Brother Jerry Lawson placed in the book, and he put in there Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Now this verse states, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I want to share with you that right beside this verse, Brother Jerry wrote the simple words, a promise of salvation. And that's exactly what that verse is. Now I'm going to skip ahead here in the book a little bit. Now Sister Debbie Alls placed in this book two verses. I'm going to read those to you. Now beside these verses she wrote, when my grandparents passed away, I always went to these verses for comfort. I memorized them and would say them to myself when it all seemed overwhelming. It was a comfort at a sad time. I want you to listen to these two verses. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then also Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now that last verse has such a short and simple ending, but just think about the power in the words. It says, fear not, I will help thee. I will help thee. Now that's a promise. Now our time has passed away from us today, so we'll have to end this message about praying for promises. But we do encourage you to seek out these verses, and we pray that you will also be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.